Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another and Restoration. Glad to be here. It is November the 5th, Monday, and 10 o'clock in the evening here, 10 o'clock at night. I haven't been on for a while. I've sort of been just skipping my shows and just dealing with grief. And you know, my husband passed away 3 months ago, a little over 3 months ago now. And that's been difficult. Plus, I work almost full time, so I've just been exhausted and also trying to deal with and cope with my husband passing on. 23 years we were together, and you know, it's a hard adjustment for sure. You know, he was my biggest support, really, besides a couple of really good friends that I have for support through my healing journey. It's been very difficult, so I've sort of canceled a few shows. Sorry about that, mainly out of exhaustion, I would say. And but I'm glad to be here tonight. I want to kind of sort of hopefully start picking these up again. We're looking at a topic. It's another topic from Havoka, and it's looking at boundary work, boundaries, and their information about boundaries. So hopefully it'll be helpful. I haven't read through it. It's I've seen it. I'm just looking at it for the first time tonight too. Hopefully it'll be helpful for you all out there. If not, you know, you just keep looking for that information that's going to help you. You know, it's you know, what works for me may not work for somebody else, and vice versa. You know, like, we're all different. We all have different situations going on in our lives and different needs, and have been through different things, even though we have, share the commonality of being abused. So if you're a survivor and you're listening tonight, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening and do a safety check and make sure that you're not going to, you know, get triggered and go backward in your healing journey. You really don't want that. So make sure you're safe enough and that you're okay to be listening. Otherwise, just turn the show off and you won't be hurting my feelings at all. And if you're anybody else, you have to listen at your own discretion, because I'm talking about abuse and adult survivor issues, which is a very sensitive topic. And, you know, if you're just not quite sure if that's really something that you think you really want to listen to, ultimately the decision is yours and you have to make the right decision. So, you know, if you think it's going to bother you, you need to turn the show off as well and just go listen to something else. You know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. I'm just one survivor out here willing to speak out and speak up and, you know, share my story with others in hopes that it will help others to see that, that it's doable. You know, it's tough. It really is. I'm just hooked up with so many survivor advocates out here because of what I do and have been for so many years. And the years roll by and I check my progress levels to see where I'm at as far as my progress goes, you know, for my healing journey. And I find that in some areas I've made lots of progress, in other areas I haven't made that much progress. And It's a journey, right? It takes time. It takes however long it takes is how long it takes to deal with this stuff. It's not something that can be just dealt with, put a Band-Aid on it, and just, there you go, you're all better now. You know, it's very difficult. sometimes I have to put the work off just because I really can't concentrate on it. That's mainly what's been happening lately, and that's why I haven't done any shows, because I haven't been doing any work at all on my healing journey, just because my husband passed away, and that's the focus right now, is trying to stay afloat and trying to survive. I'm in survival mode now, so it's kind of like, you know, no time for this other stuff, right? But oh, I do want to keep on it because it's important, and so, you know, we'll just, you know, keep plugging away here. I'm hoping to be back just regular Monday nights doing this at this time. So hopefully that's, you know, I plan on being here. So, yeah, because I don't know how many shows. I skipped quite a few, actually. Chat room's open if anybody wants to sit in there. And I don't have any links in there or anything. This information we're going to look at here is from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A. That's Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. And under their Information for Survivors tab, if you go to their website, HAVOCA.org, you can see their Information for Survivors tab. It's up in the top there, and you just click on that, and it'll give you all the different categories of information that they have. And they have one section on personal boundaries. This is kind of some of the last stuff that we'll be looking at from their website. And I just think it's worth looking at, because boundary work, I did a lot of boundary work a long time ago on here on my shows way back, if you wanted to go listen to them, like 2010, mainly 2009, 2010, 2011, probably right in there. But I did a lot of looking at boundary work and did boundary work, because it's very important for me to learn, you know, what are boundaries? What are appropriate boundaries for me? Right? All of us are different. And like, you know, we all have different ways of dealing with things and different needs and stuff. So, you know, boundaries are different for everybody, right? But there's general boundaries that, you know, people, you know, I guess sort of have in common. And so we'll take a look at this. And it's HAVOCA, and you can just go to their website and scroll there and find personal boundaries. I'm just reading right from their website, and we'll just take a look at what they have to say here. They said, boundaries define limits. Mark off dividing lines. The purpose of a boundary is to make clear separations between different turf, different territory. There are two types of boundaries. They say natural boundaries, which are part of the way life works. They're aligned with the reality of the rules that govern human dynamics. And personal boundaries. They're going to concentrate on personal boundaries. So they said, the process of recovery teaches us how to take down the walls and protect ourselves in healthy ways. By learning what healthy boundaries are, how to set them and how to defend them. It teaches us to be discerning in our choices, to ask for what we need, to be assertive and loving in meeting our own needs. And they said, quote unquote here, of course, or in parentheses, of course, many of us have to first get used to the revolutionary idea that it is all right for us to have needs. And that's very, very true. So they said here, this is a quote from Wikipedia they put on their website about personal boundaries. The meaning, guidelines, rules, or limits that a person creates to identify for him or herself what are reasonable, safe, and permissible ways for other people to behave around him or her, and how this person will respond when someone steps outside those limits. They're built out of a mix of beliefs, opinions, attitudes, past experiences, and social learning. And we'll just look at one more section and then we'll talk about it. The purpose of having boundaries is to protect and take care of ourselves. We need to be able to tell other people when they are acting in ways that are not acceptable to us. A first step is starting to know that we have a right to protect and defend ourselves, and that we have not only the right, but also the duty to take responsibility for how we allow others to treat us. And this is really just it. I mean, I've done a lot of boundary work, and I've had some boundary issues in some areas, but not all areas. I've always been one to look out for myself. You know, certain, I guess it's just a mixed bag for most people. Like they say here, the process of recovery teaches us how to take down the walls and protect ourselves in healthy ways by learning what healthy boundaries are, how to set them, how to defend them. And, you know, that we can ask for what we need and be assertive and loving in meeting our own needs and getting our needs met. So we do have the right, and actually, like they said, really the duty, you know, to make sure that we know what those boundaries are and then enforce them, if, you know, at all times. And I see this as a big positive. I know for myself, like, you know, I'm older now, but when I was younger, I had a lot of difficulty with confrontation, getting my needs met, because I don't really like confrontation. I'm getting better at confrontation as I get older, because confrontation to me, you know, growing up was a serious issue. I didn't, you know, I mean, confrontation was just abuse in my home. We were not allowed to say anything. The siblings, you know, myself or my brothers and sisters, were never allowed to say anything about the way that what we needed to get our needs met, and as well as how we really felt about the abuse that was going on in the home. Because if we did, we'd just be abused some more. So we all just basically just kept it inside and didn't deal with it. You know, there's no, you can't get your needs met from a parental set of parents or a parental figure who's not interested in meeting your needs. So it's kind of, you know, as an adult then, I had to work hard to kind of figure out how to do this. You know, in any situation, but especially relationship stuff, between, you know, like between friends, even friends in my life, as well as relationships with a partner, you know, with a husband or wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and also in a work situation. And so, you know, in bosses and supervisors and whatnot. And it's taken me a long time to get where I'm at today in this area. I'm doing a lot better than I ever have been. And especially even in my 40s, I would say. I wasn't really, early 40s, I would say. I had problems with this probably until about my mid-40s. I started making some progress on this. And, you know, it takes time, right, to develop this stuff, these healthy boundaries. And we have to know what's good for us. So, you know, we'll look more at the article there, but this is just the preliminary part of it. And, you know, it's so important, you know, because these boundaries are like being abused, growing up abused, or even just being abused in any situation as a child. These boundaries are crossed. And children, definitely, you know, growing up in an abusive home are not going to be shown proper boundaries. And so what does that mean as far as in my life with my own situation and how I grew up? It means that, for instance, you know, anybody could come and do anything to me they wanted to, and I wasn't allowed to say anything. So my siblings could hit me, they could hurt me, they could strangle me, they could beat me up. One of my siblings sexually abused me for about a year, causing me to be barren, incest, CSA, and I wasn't allowed to defend myself. I had no personal boundaries. In other words, people could just come do whatever they wanted to do to me. There was nothing I could say about it. So then growing up, a little older, especially from 8, 9 years old, I didn't think I had the right to say no. So that led to me not saying no, and some situations with some unwanted sexual touching as a young preteen, and real problems later than in life. Then when I had to say no, and I really wanted to say no to somebody about anything at all, it would come out in rage. So then I was screaming at the other person who had no idea that I had been sexually abused or abused in any way when I was growing up. And so I came across as a real tyrant, you know, some sort of a psychopath. And so I've had to learn how to do this stuff. And it's terrible that we should have to have been put in a situation like this, but this is the way it goes. And so if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to respect other people's boundaries, I need them to respect mine. You know, we all have to learn what those boundaries are, just what I'm going to allow in my life. And I've done lots and lots of shows on this here over the years, talking about revictimization. And that's a huge part of the boundary work. You know, it's like, am I going to allow people to, anyone, whether it's a friend, coworker, you know, a husband, wife, you know, boss, whatever the situation, landlord, doesn't matter, anybody in my life who I come in contact with, am I going to allow them to cross the lines that I've clearly set up for myself? We have to guard those lines. We have to guard those, you know, I don't know if it's so much lines, but those, you know, those decisions that we've made for ourselves, like I'm not going to be allow myself to be abused anymore. That's a clear boundary for me. And I set that one a long time ago after leaving my, well, after growing up abused and then getting away from my abusive toxic family. I'm like, I'm done with that. No, I'll treat people with dignity and respect, and I expect the same back. That is a boundary issue. And also, if I need to say no, you know, I can say no. I have the right to say no. If I don't want to do something, or it's something doesn't seem right to me and I want to say no, or somebody's doing something to me and I want them to stop, I can tell them to stop. You know, I have the right to defend myself. And I think that's what abused children who have been abused were never allowed to, or most likely never allowed to defend themselves. And so, you know, you grow up just being tormented and tortured, you know, then you have to then as an adult take responsibility for yourself and realize that no one has the right to treat anyone like that. It's unfortunate that this happened to us in our childhood, but as adults, we don't have to then allow ourselves to be abused. And it's very important. My own mother was abused as a child. Well, both my parents were, but my mother was physically abused and everything and everything else, except for, I don't know about CSA, child sexual abuse, but I know she was verbally battered. My grandmother was just a horrible woman, her mother, and abused her children, and especially my mom. My mom was the oldest and took a lot of the brunt of the beatings and the horrific stuff that my grandmother was dishing out, who was, my grandmother actually killed one of my mom's siblings, my uncle. When he was a teenager, she killed him by, well, she beat him half to death and made him sleep in a barn in the winter, and he got pneumonia and he died. But still, she was responsible for his death. But and nothing happened to her. She just got off on that one. So this is sad, but this is true. And so my mom grew up with this horrible mother, married this man to get out of this abusive home, and then he was an abuser too, and she really felt that she had no rights. Even though she knew that somewhere in the back of her mind she did, she gave up after so many years of just dealing with it. Instead of laying down the law, you know, and getting something done about it, which would mean to, like, separate or from my dad or whatever, or divorce or whatever. I mean, she did try to divorce him, but that was early on in the 1940s, and then Canada wasn't granting divorces for abuse, only for you know, affairs and extramarital stuff going on. So they wouldn't allow my parents to divorce. But later on, she could have divorced him, and she could have left him years later. But she was just resigned that this was her life, and she used to say that. This is my life. This is the way it is. And she would say that to us. This is our life, and this is the way it is, and you're just going to deal with it. You know. So we were just told we didn't have a say. We didn't have a choice. This was our life, and this is the way it was going to be. And it was a horrible, horrible existence. It was a horrible way to grow up. There wasn't a lot of hope or happiness or anything in that home. It was just a lot of abuse of every kind, you know, of psychological, verbal, emotional, physical abuse, sexual abuse between my parents, as well as my brother who sexually abused me. So it was just a nightmare. And, you know, this whole idea of having boundaries, I mean, I had to start from scratch and build some boundaries and decide what I'm, you know, how I want to be treated. That's how I need to treat others. And also I need to have some personal boundaries set for myself. So I think this article is very helpful, and we'll continue looking at it. We've only got about 10 minutes here, so we'll look at the rest of that. Well, probably another section of it. It's a little lengthy article. You can go there and check it out, havoka.org. We'll pick up some more of it and talk about it next Monday, because it's quite a lengthy article. There's still quite a ways to go. So what I thought we might do is, this is kind of has a lot to do with this article about boundaries. This is also from Havoka. There's these self-esteem affirmations, and I think these are interesting because they make you think. This is from their website, havoka.org. It's self-esteem affirmations, and I just read them. I don't always agree with them, but at least it does cause me to think about my situation and what I need to work on, or, you know, how I'm doing in a certain area. They said here, other people have the right to say no to me, and I know that we still love and care for each other. So other people have the right to say no to me, And I know that we still love and care for each other. So that's if I was to ask somebody for something, or maybe do them to ask for a favor or something like that. And let's say it was a friend or something, and this person didn't want to do that. So they said no to me, and they said, no, I'm not going to do that. Then I know that we still love and care for each other. So just because they said no doesn't mean that they don't love me or that they don't care for me. Right? And just because they said no doesn't mean that I don't love them and care for them. So in other words, it works the other way around. Let's say somebody asked me for a favor or to do something for them that I couldn't do or I didn't want to do. And so I said no. I wouldn't expect that person wouldn't think that I didn't still love them and care for them just because I said no. But that's immediately what comes to mind. And especially growing up abused, quite often people who are in situations that, especially, you know, psychological, emotional abuse, go through the situations where whoever the abuser is has that person really wrapped around their finger and has this child wrapped around their finger, I should say. And, you know, if you don't do this or you don't do that, that means you don't love me, or you don't, if you tell, you know, anyone that I've done this, then that means you don't love me or whatever, just trying to manipulate the situation. And then, you know, it's just a dishonest situation is what it is. And then, you know, these children grow up, for instance, like me, and, you know, have to deal with this stuff later. I know my sister's very much like that. She just thinks everybody just doesn't love her. And she just goes through all these strange tirades of how people don't, nobody cares for her and nobody loves her. And it's like, that's not true, especially with the siblings. I know for me, now, she's not talking about her parents. They were very much loveless people, but she's talking to me when she says that, and I'm like, you got that wrong. You know, I love you very much. It's just a reaction. It's that reaction from being so wounded and just so messed up that just people just assume that if you say no or that you don't want to do something or you say no, they've asked you to do something, that they don't love and care, that you don't love and care for them. That's just not true. And it's the same way, you know, for me. If somebody says no to me, that doesn't mean that I think that they don't love me or care for me anymore just because they've said no. So I think that's kind of interesting. And also another one, I have the right and responsibility to express my anger and remain loved. And I take responsibility to clean up any mess and restore harmony when appropriate. This is kind of interesting. This is a boundary issue here. I have the right and responsibility to express my anger and remain loved. And I take responsibility to clean up any mess and restore harmony when appropriate. Yeah, I mean, anger is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a tool, and it's how you use it. Toxic anger is no good, and that's what all of my anger was, toxic, because it became rage, you know. And so I have the right and responsibility to express my anger and remain loved. It's true, because growing up abused, I know we were not allowed to show any anger around our parents towards anything that was going on in the home. So for instance, if my dad was beating up my mom, I wasn't allowed to show any anger towards him to try to get him to stop beating up my mom, because then he would beat me up. Or if I didn't like something that my mom did, let's say it was something I didn't like something that my mom did to me, for instance, rearrange my face or break my nose or whatever she was doing, I wasn't allowed to show any anger at all about the situation. If I did, I got a double beating, so I would just get beaten again. And I wasn't loved in the first place, so that's remain loved. I mean, for me, that didn't apply. But as an adult, I have the right to, in a safe manner, you know, express any kind of emotion that I need to express, which includes anger, you know, as long as it's not toxic anger, which then becomes something that's abuse, right? So I'm getting much better at that as I get older, because the rage, I don't have nearly the rage that I used to have, which is I'm really happy about. But I used to have a lot of rage, and so now it's more just I would say normal anger, which is good. We do have the right to be angry and to express that anger and know that, you know, that shouldn't change the way someone feels about us, right? It's just like if someone becomes angry towards something that I've done or whatever, they have a right to express that, but in a non-abusive manner. And it's the same goes for me. Then I need to be the same way back, you know, to other people. It's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to be abusive. And that's the difference, right? And anger and abuse just go hand in hand for abused children. You know, people would say, well, your mom, you must have just been a terrible kid for your mom to treat you like that, you know? And I was like, well, thanks a lot. That's just absolutely not true. That's not abuse. You know, children are not necessarily abused just because the parent's angry at the child. The parent is just using that child as some sort of well, there's different reasons for it, but I know for my mom, I was just a convenient punching bag. And also, I was born out of rape, marital rape, and she just really didn't want another child around, and she was unhappy and very miserable and psychologically ill, and she was abused herself and mentally ill. My dad was screwed psychologically, mentally. Yeah, it was terrible. So I didn't have to be doing anything wrong to cause any kind of anger towards my mom, you know, to have my mom treat me the way that she did. You know, there were a few things, I guess, that I did that I actually didn't really, they didn't beat me up for, you know. But I wouldn't even have to do anything. I'd just come in the room just come in to get a glass of milk or something, or a glass of water out of the fridge. And if my mom wanted to beat me up, she would cause a ruckus. What do you want to call it? A fracas. Like, she would accuse me of having a look on my face. Mainly that's what it was. And she'd be like, oh, there you are with that look on your face. You know, and then that would start the whole thing. And I'd be like, what look? What look? I'll change it. I'll change the look, because I knew she just wanted to beat on me. I knew how she operated. I lived with her for a long time. And it took a lot of abuse from her. And so, you know, she was quite, I could kind of read, you know, her situations. And I wouldn't have to be doing anything wrong. Just being there. I was just there, right? I was a convenient punching bag, right? It was terrible. And, you know, for my dad, mainly, my dad was not my main abuser. My mother was, but he got his share in. But his was mainly due to something he didn't like me doing or whatever. If I was just watching some TV program they thought was from the devil or something, or whatever, he'd become abusive, or he didn't like my friends or whatever as a teenager. He just, you know, my parents were just very abusive people. So, you know, anger and abuse just seemed to kind of go along hand in hand. And that's how they treated each other. It was horrific. So, yeah, then anger becomes something that's wrong. For some survivors growing up in that sort of situation, go the opposite way and can't express anger at all because, you know, they don't want to hurt anybody, and so they'll take more abuse just and stuff that their own anger just you know, to be on the passive side of things. And then there's others that will rage and it goes out of control the other way. So it's really messy until you get it fixed. I did a lot of work with Dave Decker and Mike Obsatz on anger resources. That's what it was, angerresources.com. That's a really good website for people who are interested in looking at anger work, rage, whatnot, and a lot of it dealing with abuse and stuff like that. So I would recommend that website. So that's about all the time we have here for tonight. I would just say, you know, if you're struggling, you're having a hard time, you know, you make sure you get some help, you reach out, get help, and do not struggle on your own. You know, call a crisis line. You do whatever you have to do, but you stick it out. That's what I'm doing. I'm sticking it out. And I want you to do the same thing. And it doesn't mean that tomorrow's going to be any easier. But it's that will and that drive to say, you know what, I'm not going to let my abusers win. No. I win this battle. I'm all victorious in this because I'm healing, and I'm actually creating a good life for myself, and they can never take that away. And that's a slap in their face. I hope you have a good night, everybody. And we'll talk to you soon, and go to NASCA, NAASCA. If you want some great info, adult survivors of child abuse, go to NASCA. That's National Association for Adult Survivors of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, and NASCA.org. That's a great website, and that's a great team of people. If you need some resources or help, go there and check it out and get some info and get some help. Have a great night, everybody.